Salander took an appraising look around. Click. She knew that she did not have a chance. She could survive for as long as she could avoid Niedermann's enormous fists and keep her distance, but when she made a mistake, which would happen sooner or later, she was dead. She had to evade him. He would only have to grab hold of her once, and the fight would be over. She needed a weapon.
A pistol, a submachine gun, a rocket-propelled grenade, a personnel mine.
Any fucking thing at all. But there was nothing like that at hand. She looked everywhere. No weapons. Only tools. Click. Her eyes fell on the circular saw, but he was hardly going to lie down on the saw bench. Click. Click. She saw an iron rod that could be used as a spear, but it was probably too heavy for her to handle effectively. Click. She glanced through the door and saw that Niedermann was down from the crates and no more than 50 feet away. He was coming towards her again. She started to move away from the door. She had maybe 5 seconds left before Niedermann was upon her. She glanced one last time at the tools.
A weapon. Or a hiding place.
Niedermann was in no hurry. He knew that there was no way out, and that sooner or later he would catch his sister. But she was dangerous, no doubt about it. She was, after all, Zalichenko's daughter, and he did not want to be injured. It was better to let her run around and wear herself out. He stopped in the doorway to the inner room and looked around at the jumble of tools, furniture, and half-finished floorboards. She was nowhere to be seen.
"I know you're in here, and I'm going to find you."
Niedermann stood still and listened. All he could hear was his own breathing. She was hiding. He smiled. She was challenging him. Her visit had suddenly turned into a game between brother and sister. Then he heard a clumsy rustling noise from somewhere in the centre of the room. He turned his head, but at first could not tell where the sound was coming from. Then he smiled again. In the middle of the floor, set slightly apart from the other debris, stood a 16-foot-long wooden workbench with a row of drawers and sliding cabinet doors beneath it. He approached the workbench from the side and glanced behind it to make sure that she was not trying to fool him. Nothing there. She was hiding inside the cabinet. So stupid. He slid open the first door on the far left. He instantly heard movement inside the cabinet from the middle section. He took 2 quick steps and opened the middle door with a triumphant expression on his face. Empty. Then he heard a series of sharp cracks that sounded like pistol shots. The sound was so close that at first he could not tell where it was coming from. He turned to look. Then he felt a strange pressure against his left foot. He felt no pain, but he looked down at the floor, just in time to see Salander's hand moving the nail gun over to his right foot. She was underneath the cabinet. He stood as if paralyzed for the seconds it took her to put the mouth of the nail gun against his boot and fire another 5 7-inch nails straight through his foot. He tried to move. It took him precious seconds to realize that his feet were nailed solidly to the newly laid plank floor. Salander's hand moved the nail gun back to his left foot. It sounded like an automatic weapon getting shots off in bursts. She managed to shoot in another 4 nails as reinforcement before he was able to react. He reached down to grab her hand, but immediately lost his balance and regained it only by bracing himself against the workbench as he heard the nail gun being fired again and again. Kablam, kablam, kablam. She was back to his right foot. He saw that she was firing the nails diagonally through his heel into the floor. Niedermann howled in sudden rage. He lunged again for Salander's hand. From her position under the cabinet, Salander saw his pant leg slide up, a sign that he was trying to bend down. She let go of the nail gun. Niedermann saw her hand disappear quick as a lizard beneath the cabinet just before he reached her. He reached for the nail gun, but the instant he touched it with the tips of his fingers, she drew it under the cabinet. The gap between the floor and the cabinet was about 8 inches. With all the strength he could muster, he toppled the cabinet onto its back. Salander looked up at him with big eyes and an offended expression. She aimed the nail gun and fired it from a distance of 20 inches. The nail hit him in the middle of his shin. The next instant she dropped the nail gun, rolled fast as lightning away from him, and got to her feet beyond his reach. She backed up several feet and stopped. Niedermann tried to move and again lost his balance, swaying backwards and forwards with his arms flailing. He steadied himself and bent down in rage. This time he managed to grab hold of the nail gun. He pointed it at Salander and pulled the trigger. Nothing happened. He looked in dismay at the nail gun, and then at Salander again. She looked back at him blankly and held up the plug. In fury, he threw the nail gun at her. She dodged to the side. Then she plugged in the cord again and hauled in the nail gun. He met Salander's expressionless eyes and was amazed. She had defeated him.
She's supernatural.
Instinctively, he tried to pull one foot from the floor.
She's a monster.
He could lift his foot only a fraction of an inch before his boot hit the heads of the nails. They had been driven into his feet at different angles, and to free himself he would have to rip his feet to shreds. Even with his almost superhuman strength, he was unable to pull himself loose. For several seconds he swayed back and forth as if he were swimming. He saw a pool of blood slowly forming between his shoes. Salander sat down on a stool and watched for signs that he might be able to tear his feet loose. Since he could not feel pain, it was a matter of whether he was strong enough to pull the heads of the nails straight through his feet. She sat stock still and observed his struggle for 10 minutes. The whole time her eyes were frozen blank. After a while she stood up and walked behind him and held the nail gun to his spine, just below the nape of his neck. Salander was thinking hard. This man had transported, drugged, abused, and sold women both retail and wholesale. He had murdered at least 8 people, including a policeman in Gossaberga and a member of Svavelshire MC and his wife. She had no idea how many other lives her half-brother might have on his account, if not his conscience, but thanks to him, she had been hunted all over Sweden like a mad dog, suspected of 3 of the murders he had committed. Her finger rested heavily on the trigger. He had murdered the journalist Dag Svensson and his partner Mia Johansson. With Zarachenko he had also murdered her and buried her in Gossaberga. And now he had resurfaced to murder her again. You could get pretty angry with less provocation. She saw no reason to let him live any longer. He hated her with a passion that she could not even fathom. What would happen if she turned him over to the police? A trial? A life sentence? When would he be granted parole? How soon would he escape? And now that her father was finally gone, how many years would she have to look over her shoulder, waiting for the day when her brother would suddenly turn up again? She felt the heft of the nail gun. She could end this thing once and for all. Risk assessment. She bit her lip. Salander was afraid of no one and nothing. She realized that she lacked the necessary imagination, and that was evidence enough that there was something wrong with her brain. Niedermann hated her, and she responded with an equally implacable hatred towards him. He joined the ranks of men like Maga Lundin and Martin Wanger and Zarachenko and dozens of other creeps who, in her estimation, had absolutely no claim to be among the living. If she could put them all on a desert island and set off an atomic bomb, then she would be satisfied. But murder? Was it worth it? What would happen to her if she killed him? What were the odds that she would avoid discovery? What would she be ready to sacrifice for the satisfaction of firing the nail gun one last time? I could claim self-defense. No, not with his feet nailed to the floorboards. She suddenly thought of Harriet fucking Wanger, who had also been tormented by her father and her brother. She recalled the exchange she had had with Mikael fucking Blomqvist, in which she cursed Harriet Wanger in the harshest possible terms. It was Harriet Wanger's fault that her brother Martin had been allowed to go on murdering women year after year.
"What would you do?" Blomqvist had said.
"I'd kill the fucker," she had said, with a conviction that came from the depths of her cold soul.
And now she was standing in exactly the same position in which Harriet Wanger had found herself. How many more women would Niedermann kill if she let him go? She had the legal right of a citizen and was socially responsible for her actions. How many years of her life did she want to sacrifice? How many years had Harriet Wanger been willing to sacrifice?